In terms of becoming a professional athlete, baseball, you know, that was the way to go. But we're lucky today. You know, we got players coming in from, you know, Latin American countries, Mexico, Japan, Australia. You know, Korea. They're playing now. Good baseball in Australia, over in the Netherlands. I understand they're going to start a league in China. You know, so it's going to truly become, you know, the you know, worldwide, particularly in the World Series.
One of the sadder developments is that it doesn't seem to be the sport of choice for African Americans anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess for various reasons, because you know, in order to play baseball, you need space. A lot of the black players, they grew up in the city, so just sometimes you just don't have room to play. So you know, they grab a basketball and you know, go, the hoop's already there, and or they get a guy and they start throwing the football around. You know, thank God for Florida and the southern cities and California and Arizona, these places. And I think baseball will remain the number one sport if you can keep the stars coming. In order to do that, you know, you have to play. You have to find some place to play. You have to keep that interest there. And maybe now that they pay so much money in baseball, maybe that'll all be an incentive for them to become more expert. You don't have to be big to play, you don't have to be, 6 feet or more to play the game. You can be, short and fast and strong. As long as you can hit and feel, there's always a chance for, to become a star.
Jim Morgan must be 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
Joe Morgan must be 5'6", 5'7",
mm-hmm.
at the most.
Yeah.
And he can play. He can hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even the commissioner's office when... you're in the commissioner's office when the free agency changed baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk a little bit about that? It's quite a difference from when you were coming up.
Let's see. I was, under Bowie Kuhn, yes. Uh-huh. That added a whole new dimension, because now the highest bidder, go out and you could if you had the money, you could acquire a player that you needed to help you, and that's instead of developing your own, you could almost buy a pennant. Some of the clubs have done that, and they've done it very successfully, particularly the Yankees. That's why they keep a good club. And George Steinbrenner has vowed to keep a real good team on the field, and he'll buy whatever player it takes to make the club good. That Giambi, the first baseman, has just been acquired, Wells, the left-hand pitcher, he's come back, and they acquired Roger Clemens, and so they're going to be competitive, along with Seattle and Texas Rangers, and now the Boston Red Sox. They're going to build a bigger park so that they will be able to afford some of the free agents. I think the salaries are certainly like almost getting out of hand, because who would ever think that you'd pay a shortstop $252 million for 10 years? That's like all the money in the world, but they're paying it, so the players say, if the owners are willing to pay me, I'll take it. And I guess this is the way it's going to be from now on. I just hope that that the average person won't lose the ability to go to the park, you know, because they're your future fans. And if they bring their youngsters with them, you know, they'll get interested in baseball and the whole thing, or just keep mushrooming. But today, you know, with ticket prices what they are, you know, if you can, you know, get a chance to see one or two games for the average fan, you know, sometimes that's a lot. And it's been proven that if a man and his family, you know, a man and his wife and his two kids go to a game, sometimes it's way over $100, you know, for the outing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who can afford that? That's when a lot of people, you know, started watching on TV. And I don't know, I guess maybe in time there might be a pay-per-view, to continue to, you know, pay these huge salaries. So we just have to see what's going to happen. I hope good minds are, you know, well, I'm sure they're working on it, trying to solve this problem, and hope they can come up with something. I just don't want to see the money, and it's becoming that way, will dictate who wins. You know, where is the reward for developing your own players? You know, you got a good organization, and you know, if you got smart front office, you've got good scouts, you've got a good organization, then, you know, you can develop your own. Some clubs are doing it, but it takes 4 or 5 years. And in the meantime, you know, you might suffer. So they've got to solve this financial problem. All sports are facing this, you know, football, same thing, basketball, same thing. So hopefully they'll do it, and do it soon.
Mm-hmm. Monty, before we sum up, I just want to ask you your best Candlestick Park anecdote. We didn't spend much time on San Francisco, but Candlestick Park, mm-hmm. the late, great Candlestick Park. Mm-hmm. How bizarre was that to play in?
Well, I didn't play in San Francisco, because the year they went out there in 57, I retired.
Oh, okay.
I went back to play in old-timers games, and you know, I used to watch a lot of games on TV, and I remember Stu Miller, wind blowing, and he was on the mound. It blew him off the mound, and he balked, and some of the players, the ball would go up and at third base, and you wind up the right fielder would catch the ball. So you had to really adjust to all of this. I just talked to Orlando Cepeda, and he said, the new stadium is so much better. You know, not only is it, we're right downtown, but the wind doesn't blow the way it, did at Candlestick. And then in the afternoon, about 3:30, the wind would always come up, and the temperature would drop. That's not the case. So there's a lot of advantages of the new park, and mainly is because it's right downtown, easy to get to, and they're very, very happy, with it. And I don't know if I'd enjoyed playing there. I guess I know some of the players didn't.
Do you still find New York Giants fans who long for the days when the Giants were here in New York City?
Yeah, many of them. Many fans, former fans, New York Giants fans, after they left, they stopped rooting. Same thing happened with the Dodgers. When the Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, they, just either stopped going to the games or they became Yankee fans, now that I'm, so old, many of the fans that I knew at that time, no longer exist. But the ones that do, they come up and like to talk about the old Polo Grounds and, what great times, what a great park it was, to play in, and, some of the wonderful things that they saw happen. And, they saw Bill Terry and Carl Hubbell and, some of the other, Giant greats.
Did you have,
You know, and in fact, you know, we never mentioned Mel Otta in any of this. You know, he's a great hitter, you know, great hero for the, you know, for the. We didn't mention Ty Cobb, and you know, Tris Speaker. We didn't mention, you know, all these guys. You see, you know, great, great in their day. In fact, they were the best in their day. Sometimes we, you know, as you go back, you just might miss somebody.
Right.
You know, but.
Hank Greenberg
was terrific. Charlie Gehringer, you know, and right on down the line, you know, all these wonderful players. Enos Slaughter, you know, Ralph Kiner, the great, you know, home run hitter. So many played and that you know they were so great. When you start to try to name a team or you know, who was, you know, best in this position. Sometimes you got six or seven guys you have to consider, you know. And sometimes the guy you forget was almost as good as, you know, the one that you mentioned. I just want to say that, you know, probably trying to sum this whole thing up is that everything I, you know, have is a result of playing baseball. It taught me, you know, to be competitive, you know, to hang in there. It was almost a game I would have played for nothing. Most of the times, I did play for nothing almost, and it gave me certain values that, you know, that has taken me, you know, right through life. You know, learn how to play hard, play fair, give it all you got. You know, be steadfast. You know. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful life. You know, my kids grew up liking baseball. They're still baseball fans. And I say it's the greatest game ever, you know, ever invented. So many things can happen. You know, you play until somebody wins. You know, you don't have a time clock and so on. So many, you know, first man up can get a hit. And there might be not another hit in the whole game, you see. All kind of situations. Look at last year, the World Series, how terrific it was. You know, the game went right down to the last inning, to the last out before the before Arizona won the thing, you know, before they won that game. But what you know, it was just a very, very thrilling series. Hopefully this year will be the same thing. It'll probably be the Yankees again in there, and then you got Seattle to consider. You got the Texas Rangers to consider. You know, you got the Arizona Diamondbacks to consider, and you know the Dodgers hope to recapture some of their glory. Mm-hmm. Some of these great players, you know, are coming up from Japan over to the United States and making great, having great success. So. It's now the game is really becoming worldwide and great appeal. And I just hope that, they'll keep developing these wonderful players, because as long as you have the stars, you have guys who can perform well, the game will always be America's number one sport.
Well, if they honor the game the way you did, then the game will be okay.
Well, I hope so. I'm sure it will be. Thank you so much.
Certainly honored the mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank
wonderful.
You so much.
Good to talk to you. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Mm-hmm.